A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, saw another angel come up from the east, holding the seal of the living God. He cried out in a loud voice to the four angels who were given power to damage the land and the sea. Do not damage the land or the sea or the trees until we put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. I heard the number of those who had been marked with the seal, 144,000 marked from every tribe of the Israelites. After this, I had a vision of a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God who is seated on the throne and from the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They prostrated themselves before the throne, worshiped God, and exclaimed, "Amen. Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders spoke up and said to me, "Who are these wearing white robes, and where did they come from?" I said to him, "My Lord, you are the one who knows." He said to me, "These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure, for he is pure. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. The book of Revelation, from which we have our first reading today for this Solemnity of All Saints, is probably the most mysterious of all the books of the Bible. It is sometimes regarded as a book of doom and gloom because it does include some rather frightening visions. But it also contains some visions of extraordinary beauty and consolation, like the two that are included in our passage today. The first of these two visions tells us that all the followers of Jesus are sealed, that is, marked as belonging to and protected by God. We hear the angel say to the four destroying angels not to damage anything until the seal of Christ is put on the foreheads of the servants of God. It's comforting to know that we, those servants, who have had Christ's seal put on our foreheads at baptism, if we simply remain in Christ, we will be completely safe from anything that could do us permanent harm. The seal of Christ does not promise exemption from trials in this life, but instead it assures us of our victory over death in the end, because of the victory of our Savior. The second vision of this passage then offers a partial yet very helpful answer to the age-old question, how can a God who is all good and all powerful allow suffering to afflict the just? The vision reveals that all such affliction is time-limited. There will be an irreversible end to the suffering of those who belong to God. That's what's meant by the verse at the end of the passage. These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb, who is of course Christ, fully shared in the sufferings of this world to the point of being tortured and crucified. So all who join their sufferings to his with true faith in his resurrection are destined to share his eternal joy as well. Now the people whom we remember and honor especially today, the saints triumphant in heaven, were followers of Jesus Christ in the church just like us. What made them different? What set them apart? And more importantly, we might ask, what is common to all of them that we should try to emulate? Though there are a great many saints in heaven and a very great variety of them too, which we hear about in this passage from Revelation, where it says, a great multitude which no one could count from every nation, race, people, and tongue. I think one thing could be said to characterize all of them. The saints, by the end of their lives on this earth, when their time was up, had come to the point of wanting God above everything else. I think it's as simple as that. Our responsorial psalm today expresses this truth perfectly when it says, Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face. The saints of God, called the holy ones, are those who longed above all else to see the face of their Creator in heaven. While living on God's green earth and enjoying the good things he has provided for us here, the saints wanted more. Through hearing the proclamation of the kingdom of God and experiencing God's presence in prayer, in the sacraments, and the fellowship of the church, they wanted to drink from that source of goodness itself. They wanted to be in the presence of the one who is life and love and beauty from all eternity. This is what the Beatitudes from our gospel reading today are all about. Jesus preached these Beatitudes, you know, as the opening of his Sermon on the Mount. They were meant to be the foundation and the framework for everything else he would say. These Beatitudes essentially tell us, blessed are the ones who want God over everything else, no matter what else there is or what else may happen. When Jesus says, for example, blessed are they who mourn, he's especially talking about those who lament over sin, which keeps people from experiencing the fullness of God that's meant for us. When Jesus says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, he means essentially those who hunger and thirst for God, the one who is righteous. And when Jesus says, blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God, he describes the single-heartedness of the saints. A saint's clean heart has been purged of its desire for anything less than the perfection for which it was made, who is God. Now, you're perhaps thinking to yourself at this moment, I'm not there yet. Well, neither am I. But we keep trying. We keep moving forward with the plan Christ has laid out for us in his Holy Catholic Church. St. Thomas Aquinas taught that lack of faith, lack of authentic repentance, lack of understanding, lack of real hatred of sin, lack of desire, and lack of intention to live a new life in the Holy Spirit, all these can block the fullness of the sacraments even when they're validly administered. So when these defects and blocks are removed, the full fruitfulness of the sacraments can be released. In this, St. Thomas is reminding us that everything we need to be saints and to gain the kingdom of God is present and available to us in Holy Mother Church. It's just that our desire for God may still be lacking. So on this All Saints Day, I want to suggest that we turn to the saints triumphant in heaven who are here with us as we celebrate the sacred liturgy in their honor and ask them to ask Jesus to increase our desire for God. Let's ask them to help us truly be the people that longs to see the face of the Lord. The thing about God is that because he loves us so much and respects our human freedom, he will give us what our hearts truly desire. Those who want nothing to do with God will get, tragically, just what they want. But those who do want him and keep trying in cooperation with the infinite graces of Christ available to us in the church to realign their lives and reprioritize their lives for God, they will gain him in the end. Jesus says, I will not reject anyone who comes to me.